We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And on my right side, I have, weighing in at about 134 pounds.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Is that a little low, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a little low.
Okay. So you're not a lightweight anymore, huh? So, yes, who do I have with me?
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in South St. Louis, hot and steamy South St. Louis today. We're recording, what, temperatures 99 today, pushing 99.
And incredibly just, hot after beautiful, beautiful summer.
It has been nice here in St. Louis.
July has finally shown up a month late.
Yep.
And this is, by the way, Together
Wrestling with the basics.
And we're coming to a conclusion of a summer series we've done. It is opening joke Jeopardy. And this is the last time we will do this. Okay, man.
So you can start listening again.
That's right. If you've been avoiding us, are probably tuning in maybe like five or ten minutes late.
That's what I'm thinking. Safe to tune in on time next weekend.
And just for fun's sake, I should remind you again, opening joke Jeopardy, it's not necessarily a joke. It might be a amusing anecdote, a humorous story. Our interesting trivia are none of the above.
I think the funniest part of this is just your introduction each week, reminding us what these things are.
What they are. And Matt, we only have one category left.
Wait a second.
Well, that's it. We're down to the last one, and it is bad joke number two.
Well, it's like real Jeopardy. When you dump the board, you're stuck with whatever's left, right?
That's right. And this is actually the final Jeopardy category.
Final Jeopardy. Oh, boy.
All right. So you ready for this?
I'm ready.
We've been waiting all summer for this big conclusion.
We need the Jeopardy theme music. Oh, boy.
Okay.
If only we did.
Gary, he's our engineer. Work on that for us, if you would. So if you're looking for bad jokes, since we're kind of coming into an end of this, although occasionally you may find bad jokes here, we can't promise you anything every week. But so if it's like a Monday or a Tuesday, and you're looking for a bad joke, there is a website. Have you heard of Reddit?
Reddit.com? No, yeah. I have not. No,
okay. Well,
to me.
Apparently Reddit is where people just put all kinds of conglomerations of whatever.
Oh,
whatever
okay.
They want to collect, they can put it on Reddit, and you set up a topic or whatever, and everything about that given thing can be found on Reddit. We should look for the Bible. Maybe there's a Bible page on Reddit. I don't know. I would not recommend, though, that you go looking for jokes on Reddit, because most of the things that you will find posted on Reddit probably are not for human consumption.
Not Wrestling with the Basics material.
No, no, but there is one particular page on Reddit that is called Bad Jokes.
Yeah.
And as much as I can see, they're not bad in terms of being immoral or nasty or dirty.
They just stink.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You don't have to be embarrassed to... maybe you should be embarrassed.
If you're laughing, be embarrassed.
Yes. Am I making the point, though? They're not dirty jokes.
They're not dirty jokes. Sure. They're just jokes that, may not be the funniest of jokes, but they're just kind of groaners. They leave you groaning.
And that's a perfect illustration of what I'm about to tell you. Here's a couple of jokes from Bad Joke Reddit. What do you call a belt made of watches? You want to do it, or you want me to do the punchline?
What do you call a belt made of watches? A waste of time. Get it? Waste of time. That's good.
And here's one other example from Bad Joke Reddit. What do you call Barbie dolls? What do you call Barbie dolls all in a line?
A barbecue.
So if you're feeling kind of withdrawals because you haven't been listening to Wrestling with Basics, we're only here once a week. You might go on to Bad Joke Reddit, and I'm sure there will be things that will make you wish you hadn't.
Help get you through the week.
All right, I want to say a thank you to Matt. We are doing a series on the fruits of the Spirit, but I had a couple of things that struck me as I'm doing my weekly ministry, and I wanted to share them with you, and Matt has agreed to give me some opportunity to do that. We will return with the fruits of the Spirit next Saturday, right?
That's right. Okay. Looking forward to it. You're the one running the show. I'm just along for the ride. You're Jolly John. You're calling the shots.
Well, so anyway, last week we had this wonderful story from the Gospel of Matthew where Peter's sinking in the water and Jesus pulls him up out and drags him onto the boat, calms the storm, declares the fact, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And of course, the wonder of that passage is that here we have a man of little faith, a man of doubt, and Jesus still saves him. So for everybody out there who's struggling with something right now, has got some questions or some concerns or things you don't understand, don't despair. Just keep calling out to Jesus, save me, because that's what he does. You don't have to reach a certain point of faith, and then all of a sudden Christ will pull you out of the water. It is what he wants to do, even for people of little faith and of doubt. The issue, though, we left with at the conclusion of last week's show, Matt, was that the text says that Jesus did this immediately.
Yes.
And that was the problem, because apparently he's not doing that anymore. Well, seriously, I'm having some medical issues, and I've cried out, Jesus, save me. And I go to the doctor, and I've still got the medical issues. So what's going on here, Lord? Let's pull me out of the water. What are you leaving me here, you know, treading water here? It's getting a little scary.
Yeah, and it's not that he can't, but he just doesn't. And maybe that's the real issue here.
Thank you. That's the problem. He's God. He surely should be able to do it, shouldn't
he? Yeah, if he did for Peter, why not us?
Yeah. So it just so happens that there's a story immediately following this whole business about Peter being dragged out of the water that I believe explains why Jesus sometimes delays. Can we look
Very
at that
good.
Story?
Yeah, let's do that.
It's found in Matthew chapter 15. And it begins at verse 21. And Matt, if you don't mind, let's just read the whole story.
Sure.
The faith of a Canaanite woman.
Okay, Matthew 15 begins verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely depressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly.
So I actually want to kind of take this on a little side route, and then we'll get back to the reason why Jesus maybe delays sometimes when we cry out to him to help us. Here's the thing that I discovered, and you know this too, Matt, even though you are Matt Youngblood. It's amazing how we come back to these texts and there's something that we didn't see before. In fact, to me, it's the testimony of the power of the Holy Spirit that he can take a couple of numbskulls like us and show anything to us.
A new insight. And that's exciting. Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I think you want to jump in here and share this insight and answer to questions. That's great.
That's exactly right, because it's there. It's on my mind. And so here's the insight I got this time around. Read, if you would, verse 25 again.
Okay, verse 25. But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me."
See, the nitty thing here that I had not discovered, do you know what the actual word is there for knelt? Do you remember? You didn't do this. That's not
kneeling,
a fair question.
Yeah.
Because you're back to doing the lectionary.
We are back to the lectionary, to the pericopes. But my footnote says here in the Lutheran Study Bible.
Ah! It was actually in the footnote?
Worship. It doesn't have the actual Greek word, but apparently kneeling is also the same word used for worship.
Yeah.
Is that what you found? Or?
I got to start reading the footnotes. I didn't know that was in the footnotes.
But, you know, you paid for the footnotes.
Yeah, you might as well use them. I'll have to start looking at that. But what struck me as interesting is this is the word that Matthew uses for worship throughout his whole gospel. At the very beginning, we've got the Magi, right? They're showing up in Jerusalem, these three wise men. What do they want to do?
They worship.
That's right. They want to worship the King of the Jews. It is the exact same word we have here. In fact, what I think is very striking is when you get to the end of that story, it says they bowed down and worshiped him. use the same word that's so there is a decent word for kneeling. If you want to use that, yeah, there's a word for bowing down, but no, this is something beyond just a physical position. In fact, in the text we had just a couple weeks ago, well, in fact, it's the story we had last week. What am I thinking? What happens at the end of the story after Jesus pulls the Peter out of the water and calms the sea? You remember what happens at the end of the story last week?
Yeah, they worship him. It looks like right there in the boat, and say, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Okay, so there it is again. And I don't know why the English wants to water it down with "she knelt before him."
Yeah.
No, she's worshiping him. And in fact, the nuance of that word is so powerful. Yeah, they worship him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is a word that is always used of someone who has some kind of divinity about him. There are some secular examples where it is used of kings, but only in the fact that the people actually believe those kings were divine, that their power was of God. I think probably the most powerful illustration of the word worship in Matthew is it's the word that is used in the temptation in Matthew chapter 4.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Where is it used there? You
the
know
temptation in the wilderness. Well, then it's used Satan tempts Jesus to worship him, Satan.
I'll give you all these kingdoms. And again, it's bow down and
worship.
And of course, Jesus' answer is, the word of God says you shall worship the Lord your God.
Serve him only.
And him alone.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just the way. When this woman kneels at Jesus, she is acknowledging that, yes, he is the Almighty Son of God. It's interesting that Matthew wraps up with those words again on Easter morning. The women see the resurrected Jesus. They worship him. And my favorite of all passages is at the conclusion of Matthew, where he takes them up on the hilltop, and it says they worshiped him, though some doubted.
Some doubt, yeah.
Which I like. So it's possible to worship Jesus as the divinity and still have some doubts.
Yeah.
Okay? So if anybody out there is having some doubts, again, like we said last week, don't sweat it, but do keep turning to Jesus.
Yes.
Do keep calling out to him, because it's not a good thing. We don't want to have doubt. Well, all right. So that was the thing I had here. I realized this.
Yeah, and isn't that something? I mean, and she seems to get it perhaps more than the disciples in some ways. I mean, they have their moments where they kind of shine through.
Yep.
But in just, in chapter 16, the next chapter, we'll see Peter kind of getting things wrong and wanting Jesus even not to go to the cross. But here, this Canaanite woman, of all people, seems to get it right, perhaps more than the disciples, and certainly more than the Jewish religious leaders, like the Pharisees, the Sadducees.
And you wish the English translation had put the word worship in there, because you're right. That's what's striking about this woman. And I think it is why Jesus, in the end, says, "I have not found so great a faith," because she's worshiping him, which at this point, people aren't doing. And even, like you said, the worship of the disciples is still flawed in their worship. But this gal really is kneeling. So here's the things I taught my people, and I want to share with the listeners here. I think this text is all about worship. You want to know how to worship? This text will teach you how to worship. So go back to the verse 22 there. Go back to verse 22.
Okay. "And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.'"
So number one, Matt, if you're going to worship Jesus, you best have some problems you're bringing with you. Okay?
Well, that's easy. I can do that.
Is it really, Matt? Now, I'm going to ask you, because this is where this just blew me away.
Yeah.
I thought about I've got problems, no doubt.
Yeah,
I wouldn't give my problems to a monkey on a rock. But how many times do I go to church and I'm not thinking about my problems? I'm not going, "Lord, help me with this." I'm going, "Oh, yeah, I got to preach a sermon here. What's the point I'm going to make? Oh, yeah, I got to lead the liturgy."
Yeah.
Do you ever find yourself trapped in that where you're not really worshiping, you're just doing worship?
Yeah, sure. As a pastor on the other side of the pews, it's a temptation. You always think of the next thing you got to say, the next thing you got to do, and, "Oh, look who's in the pew this week," or, "Someone's missing this week. Wonder where they're at."
Oh,
and
then we start worrying.
And then you start worrying maybe about, your congregation member, and, it's exactly right. So, I mean, one of my prayers is just that my own worship would also be God-pleasing, and that worship would be worship for me and not just carrying out the duties of a pastor.
And how many of our people are in the same bind? It's what we do on a Sunday morning. Oh, yeah, it's time to get up and go to church. So I'm telling you now, I don't want to see you in church next week unless you're bringing a problem with you. Okay? Because that's what worship is about. It's about going to the Lord and saying, I got this problem. I'm having trouble with it. I need your help. I'm turning it over to you. And like I said, that just blew me away because there's so often that I do it just because it's my job. And we need to understand, oh, this is why we have church. Because we do have struggles. We do have trials. Now let's bring them like this woman does and say to the Lord. But what does she say to the Lord? I think that's the second essence about
worship.
Well,
I mean, just real quick, I think sometimes people even think that you worship isn't for people with problems, that you really have to get your life in order, get things straight, and then, you know, when things are straight, then you can come to worship. Because people at church seem to have it together. You know, they're dressed pretty well, they're sitting together, they're behaving themselves for the most part. but no, I think that's a good point that, no, worship is for people with problems. Problems with sin, certainly, but also even problems with a family member, with a loved one, someone who's sick like this, and to bring those problems before our Savior. That's what worship's about.
And so, again, we don't want to see you there this week unless you're bringing some problems with you, okay? Because that's what we're there for, not just for you to sit in the pew and enjoy the hymns. Okay. How does she come with her problems?
Okay, very good. So then she comes crying out, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David.
And so that's the second thing you need to realize. No, you're not coming to church so you can say, God, I went to church, now you owe me one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I hope you're looking now, Lord. I'm at the early service even.
And sad to say, we do think that way, don't we?
Yes.
I went to church, man. I said, it was a long service, too. They had a baptism and communion. We were there for an hour and 20 minutes.
That's extra credit. Come on, God.
But no, that's the thing. You come with your problems, but you got to come with the understanding that really God shouldn't even be hearing you. He shouldn't even listen to you. Shouldn't even be paying attention to you and your problems and your needs. Oh, yeah, you think you're so hot because you showed up at my house with all your grumbling and your complaints. But, of course, that's the beauty. We go like this woman and say, Lord, have mercy on us. Yeah. We know we don't deserve anything from you. You shouldn't even be listening to us. But somehow we believe you are, and you're going to answer our prayers.
Yeah, and even that's even part of many of our worship services. At some point during the service, we're at the Kyrie or some other place where we have, Lord, have mercy.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually speak the same words that this Canaanite woman spoke from her lips, you know, 2,000 years ago, going to the same Savior, saying those same words, Lord, have mercy. And he does.
And Matt, yeah, thank you, man. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what I really like about... I don't care. You go to any church you want to go to, but you go with your problems and your issues. You cry out to the Lord to help you, okay? Don't go play and pretend worship wherever you are, Baptist or Roman, Catholic or whatever. But I do like that about our Lutheran worship, that the beginning is that. It is, isn't it, Matt? We confess we're poor, miserable sinners. We've sinned in thought, word, and deed. We do exactly what this woman does. And then as if that is not enough, then like you say, yeah, we begin with the Kyrie, Lord have mercy. Yeah. So thank you for reminding. That's how the whole Lutheran worship thing is built, that we don't deserve anything.
We approach Jesus the same way this Canaanite woman approached him.
But here's the problem, Matt. Having said that, because I believe that's the essence of worship, take your problems, go to the Lord, know that he doesn't need to hear you. All you can ask for is mercy, but he will give you that. But read the conclusion of the text, if you would.
Let's see. Jesus answering her, a woman?
Yeah, just actually the end of it there.
Okay.
Be it done.
Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly.
And so there's a problem. So I'm going to church. I'm doing what Pastor John told me to do. I've come with all my problems. I've come cried out mercy. And he still doesn't answer my prayers.
Yeah.
So what else do you want, Lord? I'm doing it just like you told me to do it. You're still not answering my prayers. By the way, just to clarify thing, it actually doesn't say he healed instantly, but rather it says he healed within the hour. So it could have taken a half hour, 45 minutes, you know. Don't give up so soon. Yeah. Although, how long do your church services
last? Well, a little over an hour.
Yeah, ours are too. So I'm thinking you surely could have got it done in that time. All right. Here's the thought I had, though. Who in this story thinks that Jesus should answer prayers immediately, that is the program and the plan? Who in this story thinks that's what Jesus should do?
Let's see here. I think the disciples, perhaps, may.
Yeah, exactly. What do the disciples want Jesus to do?
Well, they want her to send the woman away.
And I guess it could mean just get rid of her, but don't you kind of think, I'm kind of tenderhearted there, thinking, go ahead and heal her daughter like you've healed everybody else.
But get it over and done with, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So that is the attitude of the disciples. It may be our attitude, too, that we want Jesus just to give us some quick healing and we'll get on our way, but it's certainly not the attitude of Jesus or the woman for that instance. Let's look at the story in detail real quickly here. So what does Jesus say when the disciples suggest, just answer her prayers and get it over with?
He answers in 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
All right, so first of all, why should I even bother with this woman? She's a Canaanite.
Yeah.
I'm here, by the way, for the who, though? I thought that was interesting.
The lost sheep.
Yeah. So not even for the good Jews, not even those that think they deserve their prayers need to be answered. But no, I'm only coming for the lost sheep, but certainly not for the Canaanites. Keep on reading.
But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me.
So isn't it ironically, that's actually when she begins worshiping.
After Jesus says, that kind of harsh word, really, if you're a Canaanite.
So if you've come to church and it doesn't seem like Jesus is answering your prayers, well then pray all the more. Start worshiping him. Yeah, that's the response to that one. It doesn't seem like Jesus is concerned if he's not paying attention. Keep on reading the next verse, though.
And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.
Oh, my goodness. So now she's eye to eye with Jesus, and Jesus says, well, I'm not going to take the children's bread and give it to you because you're a
dog.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, how harsh can you be? But you know what, Matt? It's in that little statement that he actually puts the word that will give her faith. Have you done this text recently? Do you know the word that's used in there for dog? Have we talked about this before?
No. What's the dog word?
Well, it's not the mongrel dog. It's not the kind of dogs that Lynn and I encounter as we take our walks around New Athens. You know, the snarling, biting dogs.
The rabid dogs of New Athens.
Yeah. Thank God for the invisible fences. We got invisible fences all over our town. I don't know who puts them up, but thank God for them. No, the word here for dog is for the little pet dog. The lap dog.
Oh, okay.
The dog that is your house
dog.
Yes. And of course, she seizes on that because it is true. You don't take the children's bread and give it to the house dog. But what does the house dog do, Matt?
Eats the scraps that fall from the master's table.
Exactly. She seizes on that. The dog sits there. He begs. And of course, he always ends up getting the crumbs, which is all he really was looking for anyway. And there it is then, a woman, great is your faith. And so that's kind of the thing that I want to share with people. If Jesus isn't answering your prayers, it's because he wants to do something better. He will answer your prayers. Matt, there's never been a thing in my 61 years of life that God ultimately didn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
Might have done it immediately, might have done it within the hour. A lot of time it took a week or a month or even years. But anything I've ever prayed for, he's always given and always answered. But don't you see, he wants to do more than that, Matt. He doesn't want to just give us our earthly, worldly blessings. He wants to give us the same kind of great faith that he gave unto this woman. And sometimes in order to give us that kind of great faith, he intentionally delays. But if you just keep listening, there's always this little hope he gives us. There's always some gospel he shares with us, reminding us that don't despair, don't lose hope. Of course we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it because we doubt so much. But in the end, he will always hear our prayers and give us more than just physical blessings. He will give us great faith. Matt, anything you want to say to wrap
this up? Yeah, I just think
of
those words of Paul. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. You know, so that perhaps that time of suffering and our prayers seem unanswered, at least, that ultimately produces that perseverance and that hope. And like you said, that strengthening of faith.
And thank you for reminding us this isn't just stuff that Matt and I made up. But it is exactly what the promise is of the Word of God.
Definitely.
Next week, which gift?
We are on to faithfulness. Faithfulness. I believe it's fruit number 7.
All right. Blessings, Matt, and blessings to all our listeners.